Arthur, good morning, David Coleman.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Very good. You've had a good weekend, I trust.
I did. Very pleasant weekend, yeah. I had to work a lot, though, but other than that, such is life.
You didn't get a chance to see Captain Phillips in the cinema at all, did you?
No.
Tom Hanks film about piracy.
No, nor did I get to see Gravity, which I heard it was supposed to be spectacular.
Is that out now?
When you see it in IMAX.
Oh, yeah, here, that's great.
And the other one is Ender's Game, which is another one I went to see as well.
That looks appalling. No, honestly, it looks absolutely 2 stars. Is that Harrison Ford?
Yeah, did it only get
absolute rubbish? Absolute. Yeah, but the book is different to the film, though.
Yeah,
but the film looks rubbish.
Well, I'm still intrigued to go and see it.
Well, I highly recommend Captain Phillips. It was just a cracking film. Great adventure, great drama.
I heard him interviewed about it where he was saying that they tried to film some of the scenes actually in a lifeboat and people were throwing up all over him. I thought that was great. The crew were throwing up all over him.
I'd say there.
Nice.
Could you not aim it somewhere else? Let's get down to business. David and Ryan, my 13-year-old boy, is in the midst of puberty. He is moody, irritable, and generally doesn't care about anything like school or sport. He's angry all the time. He's falling out with friends. What can I do? He was never like this.
Just wait.
That's all.
Relax.
Is that all you can
in
say?
In some ways. I mean, you know, the 13, I always think 13 to 15 or 12 to 14, 15 are the hardest years in puberty because it's often when the hormones kick in at their strongest. And so for youngsters, they really don't know whether they're coming or going. And they're really struggling to work out this self-identity. And it's when it's at its most pervasive, a real sense of like, you know, who am I? And that's why, you know, a lot of the time they're looking at themselves in relation to all of their friends. It's when they, you know, the desire to be part of the peer group is at its strongest, to fit in, to feel like they're normal, like they're exactly the same as everybody else. So it's a really tough time for them. And all we can do really is just wait it out, be supportive, be encouraging, stay interested, stay involved, keep a bit of pressure on them, you know, to stay focused perhaps with school or even better to stay focused with sports. It's a shame if that young lad is giving up sports because they're often a great saviour for youngsters going through the teenage years because it is possible to kind of fall off the planet entirely as a teenager and just withdraw, retreat and get into your computer games and whatever and just forget about the fact that there's a life to be lived. But it's just, it's hard. It's hard for 13-year-olds to see beyond right now. They can't see into the future and it all seems a bit stressful and turbulent for them.
One thing I think is useful is if they seem to be in the zone of the Incredible Sulk or the Huff is to let them go off within the house. I don't mean one of the streets and just don't pursue it. Just give them the just easy and then they drift back on, you know, a cup of coffee or, you know, a raw chocolate. You know, so just give them the bit of, I find that better rather than worrying yourself into it, which I did do for a while. And then just if you easy does it a bit more, like just everyone calm because they feed off calm.
Yeah. And I think also they get distressed by a lot of pressure if they feel a lot of demands on them because they're already feeling like they're
not
coping.
Do you remember when you were a kid and your mother or your father, whoever, would say to you, are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. What's wrong with you? You don't seem to... you're making it worse. I was, you know, actually by saying you look, you know, you don't look happy.
That
I am
still
happy.
Happens.
Yeah. David, my 2.5-year-old keeps throwing everything on the floor and finds it hard to focus on one thing. How can I correct this and engage him to keep his attention on the one thing? Please advise.
Oh, don't worry about that either. Two and a half year olds, absolutely.
Boy.
Attention span of a gnat.
Yeah.
Like really, they just move on quite quickly. And I mean, the most important thing you can do is play with him. So if you continue to play with the item or you continue to say, for example, it's, I don't know, something to do with shapes or it's a particular car or whatever it is, you know, you just continue to show interest in it. And actually you'll find that he may drift back to it because you're engaged in it and he will want to be engaged with you. So one of the best things you can do as a parent is if you have the time, play with your 2.5-year-old rather than, you see, I think sometimes what we're trying to do as parents is get them engaged on their own, keep them busy, keep them occupied, and we want them to be able to play independently of us so we can go and cook the dinner and put on the load of washing and do all the other things we have to do around the house. But if you can, play with them, and that will help them certainly to stick with things for a bit longer.
Exactly. We had a kind of slight family gathering yesterday morning, and loads of boys, well, nephews and girls and whatever. And what the analogy I can best give you for boys versus girls of a certain age, being kids, whatever, is if you take the motorway, girls are like the cycle path and boys are like the main road. They just go zoom past and up and down, and girls are just a bit more, they're cycling along, they're just easy going and just easier to handle. But boys are just so excited and full of energy, full of petrol, they just keep zooming up and down. They're mad.
I'm just intrigued by your description of a slight family gathering. I'm thinking, who didn't get invited?
Oh, they're all there. We were missing one missing one.
A slight family gathering.
Yeah, yeah. We're missing one. When one's missing, it's not the same.
It's just not the same.
No. But he was at a sports thing, so it's fine. Next time. It's my nephew. I showed him The Omen for the first time there at Halloween. I was dying to show him because I've got girls. I can't show them stuff like that. They hate that.
I hate that.
Why are you shaking your head?
No, I hate that.
I wanted to show him The Omen. I had it since May. Like, he's nearly 13. Like, he's only 12. He shouldn't be allowed to watch it, but you know, he's. But he's
The Omen
smart.
Is the one with the.
Gregory Peck.
The kid, like.
It's all for you, Damien.
Yeah.
The nanny.
Yeah.
It's all for you. And it's creepy.
I never
but
saw
it's,
it.
He was looking at it. He was roaring laughing. It's ham. It's cheese. It's ham and cheese. Toasted ham and cheese with extra camp.
I just never got horror, spook, all that kind of stuff. Never liked it.
That's good stuff, though. Mm.
So I've never shown it to my kids either.
We all sit down, go and watch it. It's nonsense. And then there's The Omen 2.
Yeah, you see, I worry about your taste and mine being so completely different now because you've written off Harrison Ford in Ender's Game. And now you're telling me...
Should I want for one of my Christmas... the Star Wars and the trilogy on DVD. I don't have them. I actually want that.
The original or the...
The original three.
The prequel.
Yeah, I just kind of feel I want to get back into them. Because I was having this conversation the other day in the makeup, myself and Paddy Cullivan and the makeup girls on Friday night, and we were chatting away. And one thing I was saying to them, I was watching Love Hate again from start to finish, right? From the beginning. And
is that going to come out on Netflix? I really want that to come out on
Netflix.
You
can always buy it. It's about like £8. Anyway, save yourself the bother, you know, of waiting. Anyway, I was chatting to them when we were shooting The Breeze, and I said, actually, watching Love Hate, I said, but you've seen it only last year, even less than a year ago. I said, I know, but since I hit 40, it's like having a second life. I forget everything. And I could nearly read stuff again, I don't remember that. Everything's a surprise again.
I got The Sopranos, the whole box set of The Sopranos.
God.
And went back and rewatched that, and that was just
when did you
terrific.
Do that?
Probably about 3 years ago I got it. So
when did you rewatch it?
Just about 2 years ago then. I mean, you know, it took me longer than I thought to watch the whole thing.
That was brilliant.
It's fantastic.
How did you get time to do it? Because you're always working and being a dad.
You just do it late at night. That's what you do. And so you're there, and see, this is the trouble with DVD box sets, because you're there and you think, oh, we just watch one more.
Oh, I know.
It's just one more. And suddenly it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, half one. I think I really actually have to go to bed.
The worst thing is I'm just going to watch the beginning of the next one. I'd do that. That's complete catology.
Do you know what's a great series, which I'm watching now actually on Netflix, is Silk, which was a BBC thing.
It's a legal drama.
Yeah. And it is brilliantly
done. Who's in that?
Brilliantly done. No idea. Didn't recognise any of the actors.
No, really?
But it is brilliant drama.
Okay.
Great drama. Silk.
Okay, thanks for the tip, actually. Good.
You won't enjoy it, obviously.
I don't, not necessarily. Ah, no. We're two different people. That's not what makes the world a special place. All right, let's move on to the next question. I'm moving my children from an English school to a Gaelic school. My children are 9 and 11. I have not told them yet. The children will be moving into their new school over the next few weeks. What way should I approach telling the children? They're both very happy in their present school.
Wow, of course, the first question that comes to mind is, why are you moving them if they're very happy in their current school?
Or location.
But then that would be on the cards already, I would imagine. And so some discussion of what new school they're going to would have happened already. Whereas it sounds like for this mum or dad that it's a decision that the parents have made that they feel is in the kids' best interest, but they haven't yet told them. So I would just come out with it
straight away, soon.
Yeah,
it's an ambush at the moment.
And they need time to adjust.
Right.
And so even if they're upset, even if they're really distressed at the thought of moving, that's fine. Better let them have that feeling and process it and work it through so that in 3 or 4 weeks' time, whenever the move is expected to happen, that they're more ready for it. But also listen carefully. At age 9 and 11, perhaps you really need to take their views into consideration a little bit more as well. Because if they're very distressed at the thought of moving, it might be worth looking back again at what are your reasons? Why is this such a good idea in your view? Because if your children feel very differently, you know, that whole social mix that they're involved in now, which could be working very well for them. So just be very careful, I suppose, and make sure your reasons are sound, and then that's what you do. You just explain your reasons to your children, let them be how they are about it.
And they have to adjust to the new language thing and everything. I mean, it's a whole new world.
Adjustment potentially. Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, and if the parents themselves aren't Gaelgors, like, that can make it difficult as well, you know, for that transition. I mean, at least if there's a lot of Irish being spoken at home, it might be an easier transition for the kids, but then perhaps you'd have thought they might have been in a Gaelic school already. I don't know. Difficult situation though.
Guys, just a quick question for David. I have a 14-year-old girl, very capable, but has lost her desire to achieve. She's very happy and jolly and has lots of friends, but doing well seems of little interest at the moment. Is this just a phase, or are there any motivators I can use to help her through this.
You know, one of the things, I wonder what kind of a school she's in, because one of the things that they often talk about in terms of particularly academic achievement, that in mixed schools, sometimes it can be less cool for girls to be really big right. on their academic achievement. So I just wonder if, you know, part of her drift into her peer group, a bit like we were talking earlier, that, that maybe it's just not quite so cool to be really smart or to have strong, high ambitions. And so talk to her about that. Talk to her about, you know, what are her friends up to and what do they think? And also explain, just explain your concerns. Let her know that you've noticed that she seems less interested in whatever it was she seemed to have been interested in before, and ask her what's going on there, and do encourage her to go back into it. And again, another good one sometimes for younger teenagers is to get, if they have a, like an aunt that she gets on really well with, perhaps get the aunt to talk to her. See if the aunt can get past, because sometimes, like you were saying earlier, you know, when parents come in and say, you know, I just want to talk to you about, the child goes, no, you know, or they won't engage with a mum or a dad. And so sometimes somebody in the extended family or a close family friend can be a good one to bring on board, to give the same message as you want to give.
Now, David, my son is 8. Just 8, but has suddenly in the last couple of months become very anxious about me bringing him anywhere and leaving him. He thinks I won't collect him. He also thinks something's going to happen to me when he is not around. He won't stay at friends' houses and at school. He cries when I'm leaving. He hates when the weather is dark and cloudy. He thinks I won't come as the weather is bad. I've never not collected him or been late, so I don't know where all of this is coming from. Any ideas? I'm hating seeing him like this.
Yeah, I mean, it is difficult. And usually with that kind of separation anxiety, it's often a bit of a mirror, I suppose, for some other anxiety that's going on or something else that he might be worried about. So I just wonder, is everything else going okay in school? Perhaps there's been a change in teacher or something else that might have just rocked his particular sense of equilibrium, that he's feeling a little bit off balance. And it's actually been shown, I suppose, in this way, that it's been shown as an anxiety about separation from the mum, as opposed to a real fear of being separated from the mum. But however, you know, whatever the real anxiety is, the most important thing she can do is just acknowledge it and let him know that she gets that he's really worried, but that she has great confidence in the other places that he's going to be and the fun that he's going to have. And like that will reassure him that she will be back, because he'll be much more able to hear the reassurance and the acknowledgement that, you know, he's going to have fun, all that kind of stuff, as long as he knows that she gets it, that she gets that he really misses her or really, really is sad or upset when she's not there.
All right. I think we'll have time for one more, because there's so many coming in. I'm trying to get as many in as I can. My 14-year-old daughter is being bullied on the bus home from school. The older girls are subtly bullying her, mimic her and saying she's ugly. She doesn't want to get the bus anymore. What is the best way? Do I talk to the bus driver, the school? Who? That's a tough one.
Yeah, I talk to both.
Really?
It depends on the bus driver and how engaged the bus driver is. Some bus drivers are great.
Yeah.
They're really on top of what's going on in their bus. They don't like any kind of messing. And other bus drivers just, you know, it's a job. They're driving. They don't really care what's happening behind them. So if you think you've got a supportive bus driver, it might be worth seeing if you can get another perspective on what's happening. But also talk to the teachers, because if these other girls on the bus are presumably in the same school, so the other teachers might know them and may even have access to them and can just again spread the word that, you know, this has been noticed and it's not really appreciated or it's not really fair, and so that might be the way again to have it addressed, because the mum and the daughter herself are actually quite powerless in the situation. It's very hard for the daughter to respond to that, particularly when it's very subtle, because there's nothing almost to grab onto that she can say, oi, stop this, and so it might be that the, you know, other people might be able to intervene on her behalf, and that's really, these other girls need to know that it's hurtful and it's upsetting and they need to stop.
David, thank you as always.
Pleasure.
Have a fine old week or two and we'll see you on the other side.
That's the plan.
Check out The Omen.
No.
Find us on Facebook. 2FM Official.